Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello everyone, good afternoon, happy Monday, welcome to Red Men News. I am Ross Chanley, joined today by the first time, Miss Amy Lawrence. Amy, how are we?
I'm all right, surviving. You?
Yeah. We all are, yeah. No trips to Durham this weekend? You stayed?
I was thinking about it, but then I decided against it last minute.
Yeah, because you would, wouldn't you?
I have no kids either, so I have no need to.
Okay, but yeah, we'll move on. Today is the anniversary of Istanbul and also Rome in 77. I've got a sheet here from the Daily Mirror. Just Carragher briefly talking about, you know, Istanbul, what it means to him. He said it's really one of those words, isn't it? He says it's not a question, it's a statement of fact. It's funny how those great European triumphs are known by the city everywhere and it took place. As a kid for me, it was Rotterdam with Everton and Rome, 77, United at Barcelona. Not the Bayern game, but Barcelona. So I just want to ask you at home, how old were you and what are your memories of Istanbul? And get them in the comments below and Tom's going to collect them. We'll say something best at the end. But Amy, where were you? What do you remember of it? Did you watch it?
Very little. I didn't know. I was 5 years old and I just had zero attention span at that time of my life. I've since grown. I can handle a full 90 minutes of football now, so that's great. But I sort of do remember, obviously my brother and my dad are massive Liverpool fans, so they'd have been watching it because they were old enough to sort of understand what was going on. I had absolutely no idea. But I do sort of remember the sort of buzz around it and just the craziness of the game in hand. And obviously since watching it back now, then I can actually remember. It's just... It was a true spectacle and something I don't think you'll forget. And I can't believe it's 15 years ago. Like, that's crazy.
I'm 15, so now I feel dead old. Yeah. And it feels like yesterday as well, but it clearly wasn't. No. But yeah, 15 years. Let us know where you were when you watched it, what you remember, your favourite memories of it. Moving on, Timo Werner and Jurgen Klopp have held a virtual meeting in recent weeks. Transfer talk. This is from the Evening Standard. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp has held a virtual meeting with Timo Werner, obviously of Leipzig. We speak about him every day on the news. However, the links to Anfield being persistent and Standard Sports understand the German international is one of Klopp's targets for the transfer when it reopens. Amy, you obviously not spoke about this, and I have. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've mentioned Liverpool is doing him. But I suppose it's encouraging that, like, Klopp's having a word with him because it's been kind of put on hold with the coronavirus of, like, will Liverpool make transfers? Will they do this? The price and all this stuff. But the fact that, you know, as the report says, Klopp's keeping in touch with him is a positive, and he's not taking him to Blackpool. He's like, he's tapping people up via Zoom or via Skype now, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, it might be the new way forward, you never know. But I think, it's definitely positive. And I think we all know that we've been sort of wondering about this for ages. It's literally been talking about non-stop. So it's definitely positive. Whether it's happened or not, I'd like to think it probably has happened at least once, whether it was formal or informal. But as you said, I think the transfer situation is so difficult just because with Corona, financially, everything's just so up in the air. So it's kind of hard to say 100% whether something's going to happen. I mean, I hope it does, because to me, it looks like he's sort of planning for life after the front three, obviously Werner being a lot younger than the three we already have at the moment. But maybe it's just a matter of when and if it's possible. I mean, I hope it is. But I think it probably happened in the later months of this year and not soon.
The other point is Neil Jones made a really good point on the Newsroom podcast last week. And it's like a PR move for clubs. So I'm guessing it's going to be like chess. You know, you just said, like, excuse me, you're going to furlough staff and then you go out and spend £50 million. Mm. A great look for the club. So maybe it's a case of Liverpool might see to see what Manchester United do, or Arsenal. Yeah. They start making movements, then Liverpool go, right, Sam, we'll go next.
Yeah, definitely. I think it saves their back as well, because I know there's a massive sort of uproar about the whole furlough scheme, and then to go and throw that amount of money at a player would I think upset a lot of people as well. So I think it maybe is, it's sort of like a Mexican standoff, who makes the move first, and I don't know whether it's better if someone else makes it before we do. You could look at it that way, but I think it's definitely not going to happen soon. It's definitely going to be in a few months' time for sure.
Cool. We'll move on. Someone else that might be coming to Liverpool is Man City star Leroy Sané. I think this was brought up last week on the news after he was linked by Bild, I think, reported it. But someone else has had their say on it, Amy. Let me find. Yeah, it was Bild last week. Liverpool said that they're interested in Sané and they take him there. But, this is really slow. Danny Mills.
Wow.
Has had, yeah. We've seen.
He actually lives near me, which is quite crazy. Yeah.
Okay. You're telling me he's a twat from all of us, then. He said, we've seen players do far worse. It's not Manchester United, it's Liverpool or Leeds Manchester United. The rivalry is not of that ilk. so basically saying that Sané could make his move to Liverpool. Like, I'd love him because he frightens us. Yeah. Shit out of me every time Liverpool play him. And, you know, he's got the raw pace, talent, skill. Okay, he's had his injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, you just mentioned the front three there, Amy. You know, you've got Sané coming in. Okay, maybe not right now, but, you know, 2-3 years' time, if he's starting for you week in, week out, you know, it's not a bad replacement if one of the front three comes in a couple of years, is it?
No, 100% not. I've always really valued him as a player. He's just lightning quick, absolutely lightning. And we have players that are already fast. And if you can build up that sort of mentality and skill on top of that, I think it's perfect. I don't think I agree with the whole, when Danny Mills says it's not the same rivalry. Obviously, it doesn't go back as far, but I think it definitely still a rivalry. I think even if you look at when Sterling left and joined them, if you're flipping it round, there's still a bit of animosity there. So I kind of don't agree with that, but
yeah, you wouldn't sell any Liverpool player to Manchester City right now, would you?
No, I don't. I think a lot of people would be upset about that and have a little bit of animosity towards the player that left, for sure. So I think I don't see that any different if one of our players left Man United or Everton. I think it would be in the same ballpark, just because of recently, in recent years, how competitive the two, us and Man City, have got with each other. I think it would still be as painful as if he was to go anywhere else.
Yeah, it would be. Let us know your thoughts on that in the comments and any subjects we've spoken about so far. Next story, Amy, is, well, it's quite controversial, this. The Atletico Madrid match is linked to 41 deaths in Merseyside hospitals. Obviously, yeah. There was an investigation that went into this, and I think it's the Sunday Times. Yeah, an investigation from Sunday Times has shed light on some of the government decisions, the crisis. Now, there's several layers to this, Amy, and I know loads of people don't like politics mixed up with football, so, like, I don't mean to do this, but, you know, they said it was safe to go ahead before the game, which is why Liverpool fans turned up. I believe Liverpool turned around and said that they wanted to stop the game, but I think you also, UEFA said, watch, you know, this game needs to go ahead, and we saw all the games that it was, yeah, actually Dortmund was behind closed doors, a couple of the games got cancelled and stuff like that. It just shows the negligence, I think, doesn't it? It's just, which is a shame that people, you know, couldn't have to go and watch a game of football because they were told it was safe to go and do so. On it turns out.
I did sort of think at the time, I think either a few days before or on the actual day when you actually start seeing these fans come into the city, I did kind of think, like, okay, is this actually still going to go ahead, sort of thing? Because I think everyone was a bit umming and ahhing. And at the time, it didn't really feel like the right decision, in my opinion anyways, just because...
The Madrid fans would go to their own game.
Yeah.
Why is it okay for them to fly?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it Many people at that time probably didn't understand the whole severity of the coronavirus, like how we're looking at it now and how it was a few weeks ago. I don't think anyone really anticipated how big it would have been. But I think equally, there should have been a decision made that sort of looked at what it might look like in a few weeks' time, in a few months' time, in fact. And I think someone probably needs to take responsibility for this, because at the end of the day, 41 people have died as a potential result of this happening. So someone probably needs to take responsibility for it, and then an investigation as to sort of the reasons for and against why that game sort of took place and that amount of fans came over, because it was...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
It was ahead of a lot of them.
Well, not just that game either. It was a Cheltenham Festival, which went ahead as well. Yeah. I think it was 37 people who have been linked to that one as well. You know, so it's just numbers all around. Moving on, the Premier League clubs resume contact training as the government released new guidelines. Started group sessions last week, but obviously there's been... under new guidelines released today, sports teams are now permitted to train larger groups as phase two of the UK government's plans was announced. Just another positive move, I suppose, Amy, is, you know, it's encouraging us as fans and because of, you know, what we do, your podcast and stuff. We'll come into the women's stuff a little bit later. But also as a fan of just kind of having some encouragement, it's going to be fine. These players are tested regularly. I think it was two negative tests that came back at the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, on a scale of things where I think there's just under 1,000 people tested, you know, it's not that bad. So for them to go up and kind of build the sport, and we knew this was going to happen, didn't we? We knew it wasn't going to be like, right, back into full training, off you go. It's, right, it's safe to do this for a couple of days, but build up as it goes. And it's good to see these measures, you know, compared to the last story, measures are now being taken for the safety of the players.
Yeah, 100%. I think this is definitely a step that needed to be taken because you need that contact to replicate games on the pitch and in real life, and it's sort of getting the players that next step to get them back to speed to sort of then get into the game whenever that comes back. I think as long as it's safe and as long as these tests are regularly being done, I don't see it an issue. But I think safety does come first, and if these players keep getting tested and coming back negative, I think there's no reason why it can't go ahead. And then the next step after that is to, I mean, I presume it's a whole training for most of the time. I think it's not splitting off into little groups anymore. So I think if it was to restart next month, as it's been penciled in for, this step definitely needs to happen. And then hopefully, again, it's positive and the next step further keeps going on as well.
Yeah, hope so. Neutral venues are also back on the cards. There's a series of meetings this week, one of which is on Thursday. I think there's one tomorrow as well. But obviously said they're going to take neutral venues off the cards. According to this, in the Daily Mail, it says Premier League season could be finished using a combination of venues. A proposal to use home, away and or neutral venues is back on the agenda. All 20 clubs are discussing the idea. Thursday's project restart meeting. There'll also be a vote proposed on financial settlement with the broadcasters. Amy, what's your opinion on the neutral venue stuff? Because I suppose as a Liverpool fan, because we're so close to winning the title, it doesn't really matter. But also, as a Liverpool fan, we know what effect playing at home can have. And I know the fans won't be there, so it won't be the same. But mentally, you play football quite a lot as well. If going into your home dressing room, being in within surroundings and stuff like that, it all adds to the psychological effect of like getting you in the right frame of mind to go and win a football game, doesn't it? And it's more important for the probably relegation sides.
Yeah. I know a lot of the lower teams when this first got announced were pretty much 100% against it. And I think home crowds and home just stadium does genuinely make such a difference. And they say it the 12th man for a reason, as well as talking about the fans being there. I think it's difficult, but ultimately, security, I think, when the league sort of gets back going, is going to be an issue, because there are going to be the fans that want to go to all of these games, and whether they're allowed in or not, they'll congregate outside. So I think that's an issue that, if you were to carry on having all these games at the stadiums that they're supposedly supposed to be in, I think it would be difficult. So security-wise, it makes more sense. But equally, from a fan's perspective, I think it's gutting, because for us, you want to win the league at home. You want to have that sort of atmosphere in your city and just the excitement around it. And as you say, the relegation teams, the home crowds make such a difference, and it could be the difference with them getting relegated or not. So there's definitely positive and negatives for both of them. I can't see how they're going to sort of get all these cogs together and make it work, in all honesty.
No, we'll have to wait and see, find out. But honestly, it's been pretty good. So maybe you can take some examples from them and go. Mm-hmm. Final story before we get to your comments, Amy, you brought this up this morning when you texted me. Courtney Swinburne-Kirk is leaving Liverpool Football Club, which was a bit of a shock to me, because not the season before she was top scorer, I'm right, Anna.
Yeah.
And this season, I'm right in saying she's only got one.
Yeah. And that was in the cup as well.
Was it?
Yeah. I think we had such high expectations for her coming into this season, just because she was incredible the season before, scoring overhead kicks and everything. So she was on form. But something this season just did not click. I don't know whether it was in terms of the style, because we started playing a little bit more with the number 10, and then number 10 playing further up, and then with Rachel Furness coming in, and then Kirsty Lynette was sort of playing that role as well. So I don't know whether the style didn't suit her, or just that she wasn't the player that we thought she was, in a way. And I know that's not nice to say, but it was just such a complete polar opposite from the season before to this season. But she's played 11 games this season in the league and not had any return in terms of goals. So that makes you a little bit worried, because she was our sort of outlet for so long. But not just the fact that she's left, I'm worried, because if you know or you don't know, Liverpool are in a relegation battle at the bottom of the table, whether the league goes ahead or not. I'm worried that she's gone, and what effect that have on other players making a decision in terms of everyone sort of dissipating. That's the main concern that I have at the moment. But I think the decision needs to be made about the league, and then I think we'll start seeing what sort of shape's taking place in terms of next season.
So where we're up to now, there's no decision being made on the Women's League at all?
No, there's been no formal decision made, but I think what is happening is the FA is still congregating with all of the teams in the league to try and come to a decision. But I think a decision needs to be made soon, so either teams can start preparing for when the league gets back into action and they have a date to look forward to, or they can start preparing for the season after. And if you're getting relegated, or if you're getting promoted, that's the preparation for the season after is huge. So I think a decision needs to be made soon on that.
Cool. People want more content on the women's football team anyway. Where can you find that?
RMTV Women's Podcast on YouTube. Just go and search it up. We've got loads of different videos going out at the moment. So,
just YouTube?
Oh, we've got everything. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Spotify, Acast. Do I need to say any more?
No, it's all at RMTV Women's. If you just search that, then you'll find Lauren and Amy. Right, so some of your comments. Istanbul, Stephen Somerville. Strange they didn't watch Istanbul live. I was only six at the time. In bed, my parents and uncle going mad when Dudak see the penalty. Rob D said he was 27, sat watching with the Man United fan. you got this at half time. I'm sure we did. Ellie Anthony Gamiel. Sorry, can't pronounce that. I remember my dad told me back when they were 3-0 down to go to sleep, and I ignored him. The best decision of my life. I was 10 years old. Good decision. Rebecca McCarthy, I was 8. I remember being on holiday in Turkey at the time. A few hours from Istanbul. I very good remember I was watching it in a bar because my brother was a massive fan. George Fuller said he was 10 at 3-0 down at half-time. He went to bed crying his eyes out. His mum and dad came in at full-time, said it was 3-3. And Dudek saved the last pen. Oh, how gutting is that? Never go to bed at half-time. You know that by now. Joe Matthews, as a young lad, sat in the living room, absolutely beanbag, mug, scarf, shirt, and my main memories and the tears after the second goal, the third goal, half-time, when everything was leading to penos, I was a wreck. Yeah, I think we pretty much all were. On Timo Werner, David Coleman says, I want Timo as an addition, not as a replacement. I'd hate to see any of the Holy Trinity sold. It's a good point, actually, isn't it, Amy? Every time a lot of people speak about this, it's like, you know, is he a replacement for such and such? Is he this? Is he that? Well, we've shot in a different bracket now. We're a completely different team to what we were 5-10 years ago. But let's just, you know, one for a better phrase, just fucking balls out and go, actually, you know, we're having four people here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think... 2-3 games a week. you get more out of Mane, Firmino and Salah. If you can just say, like, you're not playing the Carabao Cup or whatever this week.
Yeah.
It was on it.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a replacement. I just think it's, if you have the ability to strengthen the squad in that way, I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't take it. And as you said, we're aiming to be in loads of different competitions at all points of the year. So if you have someone that can come in when a Mane or a Salah isn't fully fit and you have someone of Timo Werner's calibre to come in, I wouldn't see why you'd take that opportunity. But like, the front three, I don't think you can necessarily replace them. That they've been amazing ever since they got here. But to have someone that can sort of add sort of more firepower to it, as I said, I don't see why you wouldn't sort of snatch that up.
No, it does bring concern for Timo Werner. There's Divock Origi, Shaqiri in that sense if he came in, because I think their game time will go down. Sheik Schneid says Timo Werner is overrated, mark my words.
Okay.
Fair enough. We'll remember that. Sané Stevenson also says, imagine having Sané as your backup for the front three if you need rest. Similar to Timo Werner, you've got Leroy Sané. Imagine if you're a defender and Mane's been running at you for 70 minutes and then Sané comes on. Like,
What would be the point?
Done. And lastly, on the women's, Rob D says, Amy, any thoughts on how they should end the women's league? Excuse me.
This is so difficult because
it's difficult to answer.
I feel like
gender, isn't it? Because Liverpool second from bottom.
We're bottom. Okay. So if the league gets scrapped, and or if I think they're doing it off this, is it PPE or is that, am I getting confused with something else? Predicted stuff. I think PPE is the equipment,
not PPE.
Okay. Doing it off like predicted points, and either way we'd still be bottom. So I think the only the two ways that Liverpool would be safe would be if the league gets void, completely scrapped, and we start again next season, which I highly doubt is going to happen. Or if we get to play, because there's 8 games left to play, you can completely turn that around. The bottom 4 teams are so close. I think there's only like 1 or 2 points in between them. So 8 games is a long stretch of time to be able to sort of win games, build yourself up again. So I would personally like the league to finish, just because I love football and I want to keep watching it, and I don't want to see my team sort of get relegated in a way. But I think there's not enough money in the women's game to be able to do these tests every single week. That's the main issue. And if safety and security is not sort of thought after and prioritised, I don't see a way that they can sort of carry on.
Yeah, they don't, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. There you go then. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you very much for joining us on the news very first time. Very well done. We'll be back on Monday with more news. Don't forget, this afternoon is the return of the Football Manager stream. Chris is doing very well. Did he win? I think he won most of his games last week. I know he drew with Leicester. Catch up on it. It's on the main Redmond channel. We'll be back at 10 to 4. We'll see you then. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.